Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shabbat Shalom. We are studying together the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7 today, and I would like to read from verse 24 and enter into chapter 8 and verse 9. And so we begin, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. But Yeshua said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the demon is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the demon gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. I continue verse 31. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Hipatach, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, the more a great deal they published it. And were beyond measure astonished, saying, He has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Mark chapter 8 and verse 1. In those days the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus, Yeshua, called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answer him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, and he gave thanks. And he brake, and he gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and he commanded to set them before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken food that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. And I'm stopping here with the reading, beloved brothers and sisters. I always enjoy to read those stories because those stories move our hearts on the one hand, shows us the ways that God is dealing with people here in this world, and we can definitely apply these events that happened 2,000 years ago to our own lives today. Imagine, here come the Messiah. He is the Son of God who came from heaven. He was born to the Virgin Miriam. He grew up among our people, of all the people of Israel. And now he is in the last 3.5 years of his public ministry, and now he is ministering to the people of Israel. But it is so interesting that the only portion in his life, the life of the Messiah, that he actually left the land of Israel and went beyond the coasts of the land of Israel to the Gentile world, is found right here in Mark chapter 7 from verse 24 into Mark chapter 8 and verse 9. Now you notice, beloved brothers and sisters, it is extremely interesting to see that even though Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, came initially for the people of Israel, but he also came for the nations of the world. And we learn from this passage that the intention of God is that eventually the blessing that God have given to Israel will flow beyond the borders of our nation Israel into the Gentile world, into what we say the goyim, the nations of the world. And in fact, beloved brothers and sisters, what we see here, we see a preview of what is going to happen in the future day when the Messiah Yeshua Jesus will bless the whole world and will bring all the peoples and tongues and nations to come to acknowledge him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, of course, you and I live in these days of the church age. And even though you and I are come from many people, tongues, and nations, we know very well that we are a minority here. We are only a few in comparison to the world population. The world population is still rejecting the Messiah after 2,000 years that the Messiah have already come. And only a handful of those that have chosen to take side with the Lord Yeshua the Messiah and accept him as their Lord and Savior in this church age. But once this age will conclude, that the end of the tribulation, the Messiah Yeshua will come again, and he will use the people of Israel to be a light to the nation, or lagoyim, as we say it in the Hebrew language. Well, it is interesting that now we find the Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, going beyond the borders of Israel. He's going to the goyim, he's going to the nations. And he's showing his disciples, they are like in a training session. They are now being trained by the Messiah, by the Lord Jesus, because later on, once he have gone to heaven, he will use those disciples to be the foundation of the assembly of the church, and they will be the one that will spread the gospel around the world. And many will come to believe on him. So notice that we just finished to read in Mark chapter 7, and there verse 22 and 23, where the Lord have taught his disciples, he said in verse 21, "For from within out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." He said, all these evil things come from within, and this defiles a man. He taught them the importance of having a change of the heart, that not what comes into the body defiles a man, but what comes out of the heart defiles a man. And because the religious people of Israel have thought that by virtue of the fact that they would wash their hands ceremonially, they will be right with God, the Lord have taught them that it's not what comes into the body that defile of man, but what comes out of the heart. And you notice now, immediately, he is now in the Galil. He now left for a season the land which we would call the land of Israel. Beyond the borders now, he's going to the area that today is called Sidon. You will notice the Tyre, we call it in Hebrew Tzor, and Sidon is much north of the land of Israel. So what happened right now, Yeshua the Messiah go beyond the borders of Israel because he's going to meet some individuals from among the Goyim, the nations of the world, to meet their need. Just like the Jewish people have sinned and needed forgiveness of sins, also the Goyim, the nations, have sinned and they have needs as well to come to know truly who the Messiah is. And so in verses 24 to verse 30, Yeshua is now leaving Galil, the Galil, and go beyond the border of the Galil to a place called Tzor and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon. Now, Tyre is about 20 kilometers northern of the border that then was. In fact, today it is part of Lebanon, the Lebanon. And Sidon is even further, another 40 kilometers further north, and it is really one of the largest cities in Lebanon today. And in those days, Yeshua went now because he's going to meet individuals that have need from among the nations of the world. And so notice that it is very interesting. It says in verse 24, from thence he arose, and he went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered into a house, and he would have no man know it, but he could not hide himself. If you remember in a previous chapter, Yeshua said to the disciples, he said, let us go and rest for a while. And he was trying to find a place where he could rest because the multitude were coming to him in order to hear what he has to say, to be healed and to receive healing from the Lord. And so he wanted the disciples who labored with him to have a time of rest. But apparently he didn't have any time of rest because there were so many needs. And I would like to suggest that had the Lord come today into the midst here of our city, our town, our location, and he will walk around in the city and he will see the many, many needs that exists in the lives of every one of you, of me, and the people that we are surrounded by today. So here he goes. And he's now going to Tyre and Sidon. The Hebrew we call it Tzor and Sidon. By the way, in biblical days, long before the Messiah came, these areas were allocated to the tribe of Asher. Unfortunately, the people of Israel who came into the promised land after they left the land of Egypt, unfortunately, they did not possess those portions of the land that were given by God to the people of Israel. In fact, if you read in the book of Judges, we find out that they could not possess these towns and cities. And the reason is because they didn't follow the instruction of the God of Israel. And so now, of course, obviously, the possessions that God have intended for Israel to have remain in the hands of the nations in those days. So Yeshua is going beyond the borders of Israel, beyond Galilee, to Tyre and Sidon, as it says in verse 24. He entered into a house, and he would have that no man will know that he entered into a house. But apparently, wherever he went, he could not be hid. People were searching for him. People wanted this miracle man. Where is he? Where is this man that we heard about so many times? Where is he located? We want him to be the one that will heal the sick, will give sight to the blind, will enable one who was deaf to hear and the lame to walk. And so they searched for him, they sought for him, and indeed here is a person that finally found him. Again, you notice that he's in a house. In a private house, apparently it's very interesting that Yeshua always loved to go into our homes. He come to a house, he sit there, and instead of being a guest, he become like a host. He become the one that is in charge over everything. He's the one that want to fill the house with his person, to bless this home to wherever he have entered. So here we find out, beloved brothers and sisters, that in verse 25, there was a woman that had a very serious problem. She has a young daughter, and her young daughter was possessed by demons. You notice it says here in verse 25, a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, she heard of him, and she came and she fell at his feet. You can just imagine this unclean spirit, what it caused this young girl to experience in her life. You can be assured that this unclean spirit, we know it as a demon, a fallen angel, occupied this girl, controlled her life, caused her to be in such a condition that was unbearable. And here's the mother that loved her daughter so much, took the responsibility to go and find out the one of whom she had heard long time earlier. The one of whom she had heard that came to Israel, came to the Galil, healed the many sick ones. She had heard of him because the news about the Messiah had been spread throughout the regions beyond the borders of Israel. So she is coming. And you know, being possessed with an unclean spirit is a description of one that have no God in his or her life. Can you imagine to be occupied by a demon, to be controlled by a demon, the kind of lifestyle that Satan and his demons lead people to live? Can you imagine the kind of a life that this girl have experienced? But her mother, a woman that had this daughter, really wanted the help of the Lord. And she went to the extent of searching for him until she finally found him. We don't read of many people who have found him, apparently. But when someone have a need, when someone have a problem and he really need that help, he or she will go to any measure of action in order to just find the one that can help me in my need. You know, those that don't think they have a need, they don't search for the Lord. They think that they are okay. They don't seem to think that they have a need. They will learn one day that it is a loss for them to set aside God and to set aside the Messiah and to reject him as Lord and Savior, even these days in which you and I live in today. And so we have in verse 25 the coming of this woman that had a demon-possessed daughter. Now, look at this, brothers and sisters. How wonderful. She comes, first of all, and she falls at his feet. You know, when you think about falling at the feet of Yeshua, you remember what the psalmist of Israel said? Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, Psalm chapter 2. She fell at his feet. That suggests to us that she recognized something about him. In fact, if you will notice that immediately after this expression or this action that we have here in verse 25, we find out that this woman had everything against her. You notice that first of all, she was a woman. In those days, you didn't have what you call equality between male and female. The women in those days did not have the privileges that many women have today in this world in which we live in. In those days, the woman was not as important as the man. Secondly, you'll find out in verse 26, she was a Greek. She was a Gentile. She was not Jewish. She was not a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was against her. Oh yes, she was a woman, but she was a Gentile woman, a Goya, as we say it in Hebrew. But do you think the Lord would not love her and care for her? No, you could see how he does care for her immediately. Thirdly, you find out that she was from the land of Syrophoenician. If you will read Matthew chapter 15, she was a Canaanite. In fact, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15 for a moment. I just want to see the context there because that will give us additional information. In Matthew chapter 15, it says there in verse 21, and I'm reading this verse, it says, "Then Yeshua went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan." See, in Mark chapter 7, it says that she was a Syrophoenician woman, but we find out here that she was a Canaanite, Knaanit, as we say in Hebrew, the land of Canaan. You remember when God have promised to Abraham that he will possess the land of Canaan? When Israel was called to enter into the land, they were supposed to possess Canaan, the land, and to dispossess the Canaanites. But you see, God planned to use his own people to be a blessing beyond the people of Israel. Here we find out this Canaanite woman coming from the coast of Tyre and Sidon. She coming to the Lord Yeshua the Messiah with a need that she have had. Now here's another thing that was against this Syrophoenician woman. And I'm back to Mark chapter 7. She besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. Here's another thing that was against her. Satan was attacking her family. Satan have used a demon to possess her daughter. And here she's coming with a need. What's she going to do? To whom she going to go? She's going now to the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, a woman that is crying to the Lord, falling at his feet, having everything against her. She's a woman, she's a Canaanite, she's from the Gentile world, she has a Satan is attacking her family, and the only one to go is to the person of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. And so she come to him and she beseech him. In fact, again, here you don't see it in the Gospel of Mark, but she understood that Yeshua was the son of David. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 22, she cried unto him and she said, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, Ben David." She recognized that Yeshua was the promised Messiah of Israel, the son of David. It's a messianic title of the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. You know, many, unfortunately, of our own people today don't recognize that he was Ben David, the son of David, the Messiah of Israel. But she, a Syrophoenician woman, a Canaanite woman, understood from what she heard that he was Ben David, the son of David. And she cried to him, and she says, "Have mercy on me, O thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon. Have mercy on me. Help me, Ben David, son of David. Help me." And now, here is something we have to learn in this passage. Can you imagine? Here is coming this woman, and with that kind of a need, do you think the Lord going to be careless towards her? It seemed to be from the answer to him here in this passage, but he only teaching us a very, very important lesson. It says here in verse 27 of Mark chapter 7, Jesus said unto her, Yeshua said unto her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not suitable or it's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." You see what he's telling her? Let the children be filled first. And then he said, it is not right to take away from the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Now again, brothers and sisters, think about that. Using this expression, dogs, when he speak about the nations of the world. This is one of the expressions that is used in the Bible to say those that haven't been privileged to be part of the people of God, this such a name had been given unto them. It already had been given in Exodus chapter 11 when Israel came out of the land of Egypt, this expression that even the dogs will not be able to harm you. And in Revelation chapter 22, it says, even when we're all going to be in heaven, it says the dogs are without. It is an expression that is given to the unbelieving world. And so Yeshua said to her, you know, let the children first of all be filled. It is not suitable to take away from the children bread and to cast it unto the dogs. Now here's the answer of this woman. She understood that she was not part of the descendants of David, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. She understood that she was not part of the privileged nation of Israel. And yet she wanted the help of the Messiah. She understood that he was much more than just another man, that he's able to help her with her need that she had. And so instead of going away, she responded to the Lord and she said to him in verse 28, you notice that? The woman responded and she said unto him, Lord, yet even the dogs, the little dogs, under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Even though you might say that it's not right for the people from without to enjoy the blessing that God have intended for the people of Israel, but even the little dogs are sitting, you might say, under the table, at least they can eat from whatever is falling below the table. I am willing to get these little crumbs that are falling from the tables of the children. Amazing the faith that she had. It's amazing to think about the attitude that this woman had. By the way, her name is not mentioned. She has a daughter occupied by a demon. She was a Canaanite woman. She was from the nations of the world. And she was living outside of the land of Israel. And she was a woman. Everything was against her. But one thing she had that many, even among the people of Israel, didn't have. Is faith that the Lord Yeshua the Messiah is able to heal her daughter. And that's the lesson that we learn here, beloved brothers and sisters, from this passage. She said to the Lord, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And so indeed, the Lord responded to that. You know, the Lord desires faith. Doesn't matter who we are. We might come from a privileged nation, or we might come from a non-privileged nation, yet God desires response that comes out of the heart. And so what does he say to her? At the end here, he said unto her, for this saying, go your way, the demon is gone out of thy daughter. Go your way. For this saying, beloved brothers and sisters, came out of her heart, of a woman who believed that Yeshua is able to heal her daughter. What a faith. You remember the centurion, we read of him in other passage, that even faith like this centurion was not found among our people Israel. Even though he was from the Roman army, he had much more faith and trusted that Yeshua was indeed the Messiah, much more than many from among our nation of Israel who should have trusted him and did not believe that he was the Messiah. A woman that came to the Lord by faith, a Canaanite woman, Syrophoenician woman, a Greek woman that had a great need. She came, she believed, and the Lord responded to her faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that faith is so important. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. In verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What a lesson we learn. God desires simple faith in the Messiah in order to have a relationship with him. And I can assure you, beloved brothers and sisters, that the day will come and we are going to be in the presence of the Lord, and this Syrophoenician woman, this Canaanite woman, will end up to be eternally with the Lord simply because she believed that Yeshua indeed is Lord and is able to heal her daughter. And so she left. In verse 30 of Mark chapter 7, when she was come to her house, she found the demon gone out of her daughter, which was laying there on the bed. Imagine what a joy it gave her. The answer of Christ, of the Messiah. He responded to her faith. She went back home, and indeed she found out that her daughter was healed. Now you notice, brothers and sisters, in this case, Yeshua didn't even go to her house. He was the creator of the universe. He spoke a word, and the demon dispossessed her daughter. And her daughter now is there in the home, resting in bed, waiting for her mother. Now, maybe she had been in bed after the demon had been taken away from her. Can you imagine what demonic activity caused to a person? The stress, all the activities, all the emotional pressure that is causing that young girl. She was probably resting after this demon had been taken out by the Lord from her body. And here she is waiting for her mother who arrived, and she must have rejoiced because of what the Lord is doing. Now as we look at this map once again, you notice now the second event that is following here. It's still in a Gentile world among the Goyim. Here we find out now that the Lord had moved from the west Tyre by the Mediterranean Sea. In Hebrew we call it the Yam Tichon. He is now moving not down back to Galilee, but he's moving from west to east, and he's going to an area that's called the Decapolis. And you notice now, and I'm reading now the next verses, it says here in verse 31 to verse 37 that now he found another individual that had a need from among the nations of the world. Because remember, beloved brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, came to the nation of Israel and is intending to use the nation of Israel to be a light to the nations of the world. Ultimately, the desire of God is that the world will be blessed through the person of the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Israel, our people, were chosen to be a vessel through whom the Messiah will come, and the priestly nation that's supposed to represent the Lord, the God of Israel, among the nations of the world. But unfortunately, by the time Yeshua came, Israel was not ready for that. And so the Lord takes these disciples and he kind of takes them on a training mission. He goes all the way to Tyre and Sidon, and now he's moving from the west to the east, and he's going to an area called the Decapolis. It's come from the two Greek words, 10 cities. That were by the Greek and the Romans, put them together in connection with one another, and they are called the 10 cities. Only one of those cities are in the western side of the Jordan River. This city is called Scythopolis. In Hebrew, we call it Beit She'an today. We usually visit Beit She'an when we go to Israel with our groups. But the only one of the 10 cities is Beit She'an, Scythopolis. All the other 9 are the eastern side of the Jordan River. And really, it's still a Gentile world. And so, we are continuing to read now in Mark chapter 7 from verse 31 to 37 about another man. This time, this man was a deaf man. He couldn't hear. from the nations of the world once again. And so notice that. He departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. So eventually he's going to get to the Sea of Galilee, but he's going first of all to the east, and then he's going to come down to the Sea of Galilee. But this area is still all on the outside of the land, on the eastern side of the Jordan River, is the still part of the nations around the nation of Israel, from the Gentile nations. And so we find out here in this verse, verse 32, that a man who was deaf and had speech difficulty approached Yeshua. Notice he said, they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand on him. Now notice that the people, again, came to Yeshua, and they wanted Yeshua that he will touch him. According to verse 32, it says that just that he will put his hand upon him in order to heal him. Now again, I would like to suggest why they all come to him, because they have heard of who Yeshua was. It was noised abroad that he was this man that came, the Messiah of Israel, Ben David, and he came to this earth in order to be the Messiah of Israel, and he is in his lifetime now is blessing the multitude that came around him. So the people brought to him one that was deaf and had a problem with his speech. Now, I don't know, I sometimes wonder, how can this man live? How can people who cannot speak and cannot hear, how can they sustain themselves? Can you imagine if you for 1 minute will have your ears shut and you will not be able to hear anyone speaking to you? You're not going to be able to hear what's going on. A friend calling you, your husband or your wife speak with you, your children ask something from you. Can you imagine what it means not to be able to hear? Now, we do not know much about this man. Apparently, he may have been a person that was deaf for many, many years. And because he cannot hear, apparently he had what is called a difficulty in speaking. Because if you cannot hear words, you can't express them in speech. So they brought this man to Yeshua, and we find him that this time Yeshua did something. First of all, he removed this man from the public. We read in verse 33, he took him aside from the multitude for a while, and he wanted to deal specifically with this individual. I often wonder how the Lord is so personal. With the woman, he was personal. With this man, he is personal. With the Samaritan woman, he is personal. With the blind man, he is personal. John 9. He's very personal. He wants to speak to the person individually. He moving out of the crowd, and he wanted to meet his need individually. So here he is taking him aside. The crowd is still there waiting, and he's removing him from the crowd. And I want you to notice what he does here. He's doing here in this verse 33 and verse 34, he did five things that were rather unusual. The first thing he did, he put his fingers in the ears of this man. Now again, I want you to see the contrast between the way he dealt with this man and the way he dealt with a girl that was possessed by a demon. With that girl, he didn't touch her. He spoke as a creator, and the demon have departed from her. But with this man, he put fingers in his ears. That's number one. Secondly, in verse 33, he said that he spit. He spit. Remember in other passages we read of that man that was blind, that he spit on the ground and he took and he made mud and he kind of washed his eyes, and he told him, go and wash your eyes by the pool of Shiloach. Hear the spittle of the Lord. He spit. Then thirdly, what did he do? He touched his tongue. He could not speak. He has an impediment in his speech. And fourthly, he sighed. The Hebrew word to sigh is leheaneach. He groaned. Why do you think he groaned? You see, he groaned within himself because to see the condition that exists here in this world. People are blind, people are deaf, people are possessed by demons, people are sick, people are lame and all these things. When you think about it, he's groaning within his heart, within his soul. Like he was groaning when he went to Eliezer, Lazarus' grave. He groaned. Because it's something that ache, you might say, ache. Look at what happened in a world in which we live in because of sin. Sin brought about diseases. Diseases brought about eventually death and suffering here in this world. So he groaning. Romans chapter 8 tells us for the whole creation groaning. And not only the whole creation, even we as believers are groaning with pain, waiting for the day when the Lord will take us to be in heaven. With all the pain and all the sorrows and the trial, we like doing like that, we are groaning, enachim, because of all the pain that is going on here in this world. And so he groaned. He put his finger in the ears, he spit, he touched the tongue, and he groaned. And finally, he spoke. And when he spoke, he said in Hebrew, Hipatach. Hipatach. Lehipatach means be opened. Be opened. He wanted the ears of this man to be open. Lehipatach. And he wanted him to be able to speak. Now who can do that? Who can speak a word and someone can hear? Who can speak a word and someone can speak? It's abnormal. The ordinary individual cannot do it. This person, Yeshua the Messiah, is much more than just an ordinary man. He is the Son of God, the Mashiach of Israel, the promised one that God have promised our people. He cried, he patach, and notice, beloved brothers and sisters, straightway his ears were opened. Verse 35. And the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plainly. What a wonderful thing to see this man that could not speak earlier or had an impediment in his speech. Now he's all of a sudden is able to speak plain. This is an amazing truth to see, beloved brothers and sisters. It might have something have happened that caused him not to be able to speak now, but in the past, apparently, he may have been able to speak, but he spoke plainly. In other words, he was able now to clearly speak that everyone will be able to understand this man. How is it possible unless the Lord of glory is the one that healed him? And so we find the way he met the need of that man in the Decapolis there in those 10 cities. And you notice, brothers and sisters, he charged everyone. And he said to them that they should never tell. Don't tell any man, verse 36. Don't let anybody know. But what we read here, the more he charged them, so much more a great deal they publish it. Can you imagine? If that man could not speak for years, and now he finally can speak and he can hear, and now you are telling him, don't tell anybody. What do you think he's going to do? You think he's going to say, I'm not supposed to speak because the Lord said to me, I'm not supposed to speak. But he must have been so rejoicing in the fact that he could speak and he could hear, that the more they charged them not to speak, much more, great deal, they have published it. And you notice what they published. In verse 37, beyond measure, they were beyond measure astonished. And look what they said. He has done all things well. I know we have a song, a hymn, that Yeshua have done all things well. Et hakol hu asa yafeh, as we say it in Hebrew. He have done all things well. Whatever he said, wherever he went, whatever he touched, he have done all things well. He make the deaf to hear, and he make the dumb to be able to speak. Wonderful, beloved brothers and sisters, Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, have done all things well. In a practical way for us today, look at the many blessings that the Lord had blessed us. Look at the many mercies that He showed us in our lives. That had to cause us to rejoice and to respond to Him in worship and adoration, because He surely have done all things well. He's not only made the deaf to be able to hear and the dumb to speak, but He have removed demons from those who were possessed. He raised the dead. He fed the multitude. He have done all things well. And it is well with our soul for us to acknowledge that every day of our life when we talk and when we think about the person of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Now again, we're going to continue here in chapter 8, in the next chapter. And in chapter 8, the first 9 verses, Yeshua the Messiah is still in the Decapolis, in the 10 cities among the nations of the world. He hasn't yet quite arrived to the Sea of Galilee, where He is going to be back in the land of Israel, in Galilee. He is still among the Gentile world, the Goyim. But He came for them as well. And so you remember what we read earlier, where He said to the woman, to the Canaanite woman, it is not meet, or it's not right, first of all, let the children first be filled. That teaches us, like Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Messiah, the Apostle Paul said, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. And so we have to realize that Yeshua came to the whole world. He wanted mankind to come to accept Him and be saved and receive forgiveness of sins. And so He go beyond the borders of Israel, though Israel was the nation that was chosen to be a servant of God to administrate to the world the blessing that God has for the world. And so you notice that in the next verses of chapter 8, in verses 1 to 9, how this time He's feeding the multitude, but not in Galilee, but a multitude among the nations of the world. He is still in the Decapolis, in the 10 cities. And now we find out in chapter 8, in verses 1 to 9, that Yeshua is still in the Decapolis. Notice verse 1, in those days the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Yeshua called His disciples unto Him, and He said unto them, you notice that He is still in the Decapolis, He is still outside of Galilee among the nations there, and the multitude from the nations came to Him. And Yeshua saw the multitude there in verse 1. And so He called His disciples. And again, brothers and sisters, the disciples are really in training here. Later on, they're going to go from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of this earth. But here He is training them because He hasn't died as yet. He hasn't finished the work of redemption, and so He is teaching them here. And so in chapter 8, verse 1, and then verse 2 and verse 3, He is now telling His disciples, He's calling them, and He's pointing them to the multitude of people who came. And we read in verse 2 and 3 how He shared the compassion that He had for these people on the Decapolis. He said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me for 3 days, and they have nothing to eat. And if I will send them away fasting to their own house, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. You see what He's saying to the disciples? He said, what should I do? I have a compassion upon these multitude who came, and I cannot let them go. I have to meet their need. They're already 3 days with me. What shall we do? He's training, teaching his disciples to trust in him and to learn that they are to reach beyond the borders of Israel to the nations of the world as well, even though it is to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile. And so the disciples, notice the disciples again, how the little faith they have, like you and I. The disciples answered him and they said to him in verse 4, he said, whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? How can a man meet the need of so many people here in the wilderness? How is it possible? Where can a person get enough bread, enough food to meet the need of all these people who came from the Decapolis to hear Yeshua and to be with Yeshua the Messiah? Now you can see the little faith that they had. If you just turn back to chapter 6, when he fed the 5,000 men in Galilee, notice what we read in verse 36. There we read, send them away, they said earlier to Yeshua. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy for themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. You see, they said the same thing to Yeshua the Messiah when they were in the Galil with the Jewish people. Now they are saying to him, where can you provide for these people food, bread? Here they are in the desert. How can you provide for them bread? In other words, send them away. But Yeshua had compassion. He cared for them. And he wanted to meet their need. 3 days they are following after him, trying to have him help them meet their need. They wanted to hear of the Lord, and here the Lord had compassion upon them in verses 2 and 3. And even though the response of the disciples were unbelief, it's not possible, then the Lord is going to do the miracle once again. And so we find out in the verse 5, he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said to him, 7. Verse 6, he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves. And look at that, beloved brothers and sisters. You remember in the earlier passage in chapter 6, there were 5 loaves. It was in the Galil. It was a Jewish community. Now he is among the Gentiles, the Goyim, and now he is doing the very same thing. He commanded them to sit down, and he asked his disciples, how many loaves of bread do you have? And they said to him, 7. And so what does he do? He gives thanks. He's lifting up his eyes to heaven and bless the bread. You know, when we bless the bread today, we say, Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam ha-motzi lechem min ha-aretz. In Hebrew today, this is the rabbinical teaching of giving thanks to the Lord today. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who bringeth forth the bread out of the earth. He did not need this recital. He just simply blessed and prayed, gave thanks. And then we find out he gave the bread. Can you imagine? He takes these 7 loaves in his hand, he gives thanks to God, and he passed it to his disciples, and he set them before them. And it says here, they did set them before the people. For the Lord giving them the bread, they take the bread, they give it to the people that were sitting there, the multitude of people that were there. Then he says, apparently, notice verse 7, they had a few small fishes. Again, he blesses the fish, pray, give thanks, and he began to provide plenty of fish to the people, the multitude that were around him. The more he give them, the more it come. The more he give them, the more it come. They pass it along to the people, and the people are being fed. And can you imagine the creation that is going here? It was not like a bakery. You took dough and you put it together, put it in the oven, waited until it's going to rise, and then you're going to take it and you feed the people. Here you find the Creator God creating bread, creating fish, and meeting the needs of everyone around. And so we find out just at the end here of this portion It says here in verse 8, so they did eat, and they were all filled. Everyone was satisfied and were filled with the lechem, bread, and with the fish, the dagim. Everyone's need was met. But not only that, beloved brothers and sisters, because in verse 8 it says, they took up of the broken meat or the broken bread that was left 7 baskets. And I think to be visual, you can just imagine. He putting bread in the basket, you might say. He's just multiplying the food that the multitude could have enjoyed and be fed all the way to the full. And you notice there was even 7 baskets left. And he tells us the conclusion of this passage. The day that have eaten were 4,000, and then he sent them away. I mean, this picture really clearly describes how he is giving the bread to the disciples. The disciples give the bread to the multitude, and the multitude is being fed, and everyone that was there that followed after him was fed by the Messiah himself. Now, while it is physical food, bread and fish, I would like to suggest that that's also applied spiritually. You know, we live in a world today that God's people are hunger and thirst for the word of the Lord. People are starving spiritually. They are starving. And there is a responsibility that the disciples had to learn, that they are to feed the people of God with food. The Apostle Paul said to the younger Timothy, says, preach the word in season and out of season. Because there's coming a day when they will not endure sound doctrine. And after their own lust, they will gather to themselves teachers having itching ears. Meet the need of the people. Feed them with food, spiritual food. And this is the responsibility that the disciples had to learn. And today, anyone who served the Lord in one capacity or another in ministering the word, his responsibility is to feed God's people. And what does he feed them with? It's with the word of God. This is the bread, the spiritual food that you and I can enjoy today. And as we feed on the word of God, we feed on Yeshua the Messiah, who said in John 6, I am the bread that came down from heaven. That will encourage our hearts, will meet our needs so we can continue on. Notice now, he sent them away. He sent them away, not sending them hungry, but they are satisfied. So they can go back home and continue their life. And said, he has done all things well. He met our need. He encourages our hearts. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, we learn that he has done so. He met the need of the Jewish people in Galilee. 5,000 men who were fed, beside women and children. Here is the Gentile world, you might say, in the Decapolis. He feed 4,000 people. He met their need. And there is plenty left over. 12 baskets there and 7 baskets here. We will learn a little bit about it later on in the will of the Lord. But I can assure you, beloved brothers and sisters, that the Lord, Yeshua, the Messiah, can satisfy the need of each and every one of us if we'll only come be hungry and thirsty for the word of God. And he will meet our need and will encourage our hearts. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, I'm going to stop here with verse 9. They had all been fed, 4,000 individuals, and then he can send them away. And may the Lord encourage us as we are being fed spiritually by the word of the Lord. Can we say amen to that?
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.